Ahí. Come on. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Untangled FM, the Sarah Ellis Show from London. I'm just going to say London and not even mention the weather because it's all anyone has been talking about all week. So let's just say everyone knows London is one of the hottest places on the planet. Let's leave it at that because it's getting a bit boring actually talking about the weather. And I've definitely got a hot topic and a hot show and a hot guest for you tonight. So I will get on with things and introduce my guest because by the response that I've had lots of response come in today via email. Really excited about tonight's show. So let's get on and introduce my wonderful guest. She's from Germany and now she lives in California. So she's beautiful, that's just inevitable. Not only that, she is a naturopathic doctor, a humanistic psychotherapist, and a family constellations facilitator. And in addition to all that, the reason she's on my show tonight is because she's written a wonderful book, Blossom, A Seven-Step Journey to Healing Childhood Sexual Abuse and Creating Your Dream Life. I'm really so excited and happy to introduce this evening's guest, Carolyn Hauser.
Hi, it's Sarah. Thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be with you and all the listeners.
Yeah, I'm so glad you could come on because, as I said, anyone that happened to call in before we started recording, I, a long time ago, put out a message saying, were there any therapists out there that would like to come on my show and talk about why women stayed in abusive relationships, particularly with men that didn't work, that took money from them. And although I did get response from lots of fantastic therapists, I didn't get anyone that really hit the spot of what I was talking about. And then the universe works in a wonderful way because I just stumbled across you on the internet and I thought this looks great and I'd love to get you on my show, and I asked you if you'd come on the show. So that's amazing. So Carolyn, can you tell us how you came to write this book?
Yeah, it really was out of my own need at first. During my psychotherapy training, which was 15 years back now, I had worked through some sexual abuse that had happened in my teenage years. And so when I was in my late 20s, I was really thinking, you know, I had worked through all my stuff and I was good to go. I had finally found my husband. So that also, to me, was a sign that I had worked through all my bad relationships I had been with, you know, with men that took money from me and men that weren't good for me and had made choices in relationships that weren't good for me. And so everything was going pretty well until 4 years ago, my daughter, or our daughter, turned 3. And with her turning 3, memories of a much earlier sexual abuse started to resurface. And at that point, I had already been working, or I had been working with women. I was working with women, helping them break through whatever limitations they were facing in their lives and their businesses. And was really thrown for a hoop because here I was, you know, the professional, and I did not know what to do with all of this. I had no idea what to do with these memories that would come up, with these suspicions at that point. You know, at that point, I didn't know if I was crazy or if I was just making this up. And the people that I went to and asked for help in getting clarity were not very helpful. And so I was really desperate and really going towards, you know, depression, and just I couldn't work with people anymore. It was really bad for me. It was a very dark time. And so during that time, luckily, if I've always had my connection to spirit, the universe, God, whatever you call that, higher power. And this image, this word blossom popped into my mind. That was the first thing that came. And then little by little, I started to sit down and write, and the book really came to me, through me, for myself at first. And then, once I worked through the material and saw what it was, I knew that I wanted to share that with everybody.
Fantastic. And I'm so glad that you did. There is something that I would like you to talk about. I mean, first of all, let's just say what I said to you when I asked you to come on the show, which is there's been a lot of publicity in the last year in this country about Jimmy Savile. For those of you that are listening in other countries that aren't familiar, he was a very famous DJ and children's TV presenter in the 1970s. And he, you know, he's dead now, but it came out after his death, all these children that he sexually abused. So there's been a big scandal in all the newspapers about it. And also, I mean, everyone around the world will know about this, all the publicity about the Catholic priest that sexually abused small children. But what I am always aware of is that a lot is said about the abusers and the scandal and also how tragic it is for the children. Not much is ever said about the impact that it has on the lives of the children that were sexually abused and how they are often scarred for life and how it is very difficult for them to heal. And they often have problems forming relationships, holding relationships, even having normal lives quite often. So what would you have to say about that?
I think that, you know, in general, sexual abuse is still a taboo in at least in this country, and so I'm assuming it's in other countries as well. People do not want to hear about it. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to know about it because it touches each of us very deeply at a very core level. And you know, so many people have had an experience, and I know from, you know, my own experience in working with people that as long as you are not willing or able to start the healing process, you do everything to stay in denial, basically.
Yeah. And I mean, you mentioned the healing process because I know, because I am a therapist and I work a lot with eating disorders, particularly people that overeat. And so I see people that suffered sexual abuse in their childhood quite a lot. So now I know that your book is a 7-step journey to healing. So can you tell us about some of the steps, I mean, don't give too much away because I want people to buy your book, but tell us something about the steps that can be taken towards healing.
Yeah, first I want to say, you know, that the healing journey or our journey always continues. So there's levels and steps, and the book is in a 7-week and 7-step format so that, you know, there's something to follow along. But healing journeys, you know, in real life and in reality never occur linear. So the steps, in my opinion, in all healing journeys are, you know, that you really first have to find a way to reconnect with that part of you that got hurt. So, you know, traditionally you would call this inner child work, to really, and in your everyday life, you do that by really listening to your own needs and honoring your needs and making sure you take good care of yourself. So that's kind of like the foundation. And once that happens, that starts to create a feeling of trust within yourself because the parts of you that got wounded are starting to realize that there's somebody who's actually taking care. And so then you start, you know, trusting yourself. And with that, you can access your intuition, which will always keep you safe and will always have you make good decisions for yourself. So, you know, once you're at a place where you can make decisions really from your highest place, which I think our intuition is because it's directly connected to our higher self, then our life looks much differently because we make different choices. And, yes. Those are, you know, some of the principles I teach in the book.
Absolutely. And that is really important because I'm sure you've seen this a lot. I have definitely seen it a lot. A lot of people, not just women, males as well that were sexually abused as children, because they perpetuate the abuse, and often they become prostitutes, sex workers, or they end up in abusive relationships. Would you agree?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
So absolutely, if they can, I mean, you put that in a lovely way, saying that if they start to take care of themselves, then that inner child recognizes that something is happening, that they're being taken care of, because often they didn't experience that when they were children.
Exactly, yeah. So part of the healing journey is really to, you know, release the birth parents and really realize that what they did was give us our lives, and if, you know, anything else is like icing on the cake. Oh, like this is very much coming out of the family constellation work, this belief of our parents gave us the greatest gift and sacrifice anybody can give. They gave us our life. Mm. And if they, you know, everything else is icing on the cake. And so to come to a place where we can realize that these people, you know, gave us really the greatest gift and develop deep gratitude for that, and also realize that they were just people too, you know, and really know that everybody always does their best in any given situation. So that frees us to become our own loving parents and to stop needing to look for that love that we're still yearning for in other people. You know, this yearning, this unfulfilled yearning usually leads us to making bad choices and looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yes. Absolutely. Now that leads us into the subject that I really want to talk about. I'm so excited about talking about this because I've never really found anyone before you that's covered this subject, apart from, as I mentioned, Jen Auguste, who I'm a great fan of, but I only came across her within the last year as well. Now that subject is, why do people that, particularly women that were sexually abused as children, why do they end up, often, not always, often end up in relationships with men that there's this financial thing going on? Often they're with men that don't make money, or they take money from them, or these men that can't hold down jobs. Why is that?
That is an excellent question, and I was one of these women myself, so, you know, I can answer that question from first-hand experience. And so what happens when sexual abuse happens for a woman is that, first of all, the message that she gets is that being a woman is not safe, and being in our feminine radiance and our feminine sexuality and in our feminine energy is not safe. So we cut ourselves off from our primary energetic source, basically. And what we do instead is we go into our masculine. We become very strongly masculine. Like, you know, with the sex workers, they do sex like men do.
Yeah.
You know, just like, really, you know, without emotions and just like men would do. And we start not needing anybody. We start taking care of ourselves. And we start to become very hardened and guarded. And so what that does in relationship then, when a woman is very strongly animated in her masculine energy and not so strong in her feminine, she will attract a man who is very weak in his masculine, who is very weak in his providership, very weak in his protection and, you know, stepping up and taking care of the family, and is more home in his feminine flowiness, you know, not caring, not taking responsibility, just going with the flow. All these attributes that are more flowing, and you know, for whatever reason, these men are not in their power. So basically, when we as women are not in our power, in our feminine power, then we attract men that are not in their masculine power. And then that is a, you know, in relationship, this looks like a guy who's not providing and a woman who's doing it all.
Absolutely. So how would they, because, I mean, honestly, I have had so many friends over the years that I've just been tearing my hair out and saying, why are you with this person that doesn't even have the self-respect to go and get a job and make money? They use you, they take money off you, and often, even worse, they can't even provide for their own children.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give to those women?
Well, in my own case, that was exactly the case. My husband had a very hard time providing for us, and so we actually separated for a while, and we probably wouldn't have gotten back together if we did a lot of family constellation processes during that time. That was one of the things that really helped us. And then I was aware of what I, you know, just talked about the me really getting into my feminine power. And so the last steps in my book are actually really based on really coming home into my body and also just fostering this feminine side of mine. And in general, so the advice to listeners is to really be aware that if you're in a relationship and you want to shift it, the only way to shift it is for you to get stronger in your femininity. And that starts by really starting to feel safe with yourself, being able to open your heart, being able to start to receive, you know, everything that there is, the love, the support. So for me, it became a journey really about opening my heart and keeping it open at all times. If it meant that I got hurt and I cried, then that's what I would show. I wouldn't retreat back or lash out or start fighting. Really, you know, like with my husband, if there was a situation where usually, you know, when he wasn't making money, I would get upset. I would yell at him. I would try to bribe him. I would try to, you know, somehow get him to get his ass, you know, in gear and go to work, and it didn't work. And so the only thing that really worked for me was to really just show him in complete vulnerability what it did with me and how I was feeling, and still, you know, in being in love, so, you know, without the harshness and the aggressiveness. And so it worked.
Wow, so he started responding to that energy.
Yes. Yep.
Fantastic. Now, another thing that comes to mind is, as I said, I've worked with a lot of women that had sexual abuse in their childhood, and often, not always, but often they will have issues around food and try and cloak their bodies. They don't want to have a sexually attractive body, so they will cloak the body in fat. And often baggy clothes as well. Now, I can't help but notice when I watched the little video on your Blossom Book website, you're very slim and you look really attractive, which I know that by law you have to be that way in California. I'm joking. All the women are hot in California. So was that always the case with you?
Well, I was really anorectic during my teenage years, and this is how I got into the work I do and to the family constellations. Family constellations saved my life.
Because they can go to the other extreme as well, which is not, because another way of not having a sexual body is to make it so skinny that it's not like a womanly body. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, fantastic.
So I have a very healthy body weight now, you know.
Yeah, you look great. Yeah, and that's really great to see as well, because so many therapists, you know, don't really walk the talk. They say that they've healed, but they're not. They don't look joyful and abundant and healthy. And you very much do. So it's great that you are living proof that healing really can take place.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's my greatest joy to be an example that this really works, you know, and to be an inspiration for all the other women out there. Because I'm just, you know, I'm just like all you. I'm a normal person. I'm not special. You know, it's been work, but it's, you know, it pays off if you stay with it and believe in yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing, and it's great that you did it and you are living this fantastically abundant life where you're creative and you have this lovely family. You've got two children, is that right?
Yeah.
I met one of them on Skype. Yeah, so it's amazing. And you're relatively young. How old are you?
I will be 35 this year.
Yeah, so it's
getting there.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing because lots of people don't, you know, they live their whole lives. I know people like this that are going into their 40s and 50s even, never looking at things, which leads me on to something I want to ask you. You mentioned that you had this early abuse that was a repressed memory. You didn't know about mm-hmm. it. Now, I know people, and they are not in my professional field, I want to make that clear. These are people that I know that say, oh, what is the point in unearthing repressed memories? Just it's opening up a can of worms. What's the point? So what would your answer to that be?
Yeah, and I can understand where they're coming from. With repressed memories, you know, we never really know exactly the complete true story. But what we know is that the nervous system has an imprint, and so what I work with is with that imprint in the nervous system. So rather than really needing to have the images and reliving the whole story and knowing every detail, I work with people and their activation in the nervous system. So because when trauma happens, your nervous system, your complete physical makeup gets rewired. It's almost like having a short circuit, you know, having too much energy into your nervous system and a lot of circuits burning through. Mm-hmm. And so with the body-centered work and the family constellation, we really reestablish these circuits in a healthy way and release the stuck energy that's in the body out of the body. So I would say, you know, with the can of worms, yes, it's a can of worms. If you stay at that stage and you can't get the pictures out of your head and you just try to find more pictures, then it's all about, you know, the pictures and the story, then yeah. Yes, it's a can of worms. But if you really take it for, okay, I know that there was something and I'm just staying with my body and working through it on a physical level, then that's the only way I know of to release the trauma.
Fantastic.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I agree with you that emotions do stay stuck on a cellular level, and people try to say, I'm okay, yes, it's fine, and they try to address things in a superficial way, and things can seem fine on the surface, but then when problems come up, which often manifest in the form of addictions, whether they are with food or alcohol or drugs or what I call softer addictions, TV, shopping, these problems manifest in people's lives, and they're wondering why, and it's because they're just putting a sticking plaster on what are quite serious problems. So how do you release the stuck energy?
So there's different ways that you can do it, and there's ways that you can do it on your own, and then there's ways that you can do it with a practitioner. So what I've noticed is that the family constellation process will release trauma out of your system because you get the process is such that you really get to witness other people play out the dynamics that are hidden from your conscious. So your subconscious dynamics are getting played out in front of you in a room with people, by people,
yeah.
And you get to watch it. And by watching it, you get to imprint your brain basically with a different picture, with a healthy picture. So that will move out the energy. And then also, a process that's called somatic experiencing, where you really, when you're triggered, when something very deeply is triggered within yourself, rather than trying to figure out why that is and going into your head about it, you really stay with that sensation in your body, and you get curious about it, and you just stay with the sensation really until that dissolves, and you'll notice a feeling of heat leaving your body when that imprint has resolved. So, in other words, your unconditional attention on your body helps resolve this. Usually, most of us are, you know, we're never in our bodies, we're always in our heads. We have a very hard time to be really present to ourselves, which is another way of saying, you know, really paying attention to your body and putting your full attention on your body. And so, you know, as soon as there's something, a feeling or something, we go into our head and try to explain it and try to find the story and try to, you know, analyze it. And so, yeah, and then, of course, breath work, you know, is a big one to help that.
Yes, absolutely, because I trained as a psychotherapist and we did a lot of somatic work, mm-hmm. and I had this problem where I kept a lot of tension in my jaw, mm-hmm. which affected the neck and the shoulder, and it got so bad that it actually went to a frozen shoulder at one point. I mean, can you imagine how painful that was?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I tried everything. I was, you know, going to physios, I went to this chiropractor, very expensive, I might add, chiropractor, who would click my neck, and I hated going there. I tried all these things, and then it was eventually through the somatic body work that I realized that I was constantly holding this anger in me, which resulted in this in the body, it was in the jaw and a tension around the neck. And when I got to that, I was able to release it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was fantastic. Yes, I absolutely agree with you. It's brilliant work to be doing. Another thing that's interesting about you, and this is quite common, and I'd like you to tell me what you think about this. Often, in the family dynamic, people that were abused, or often if they were the black sheep or the scapegoat, they emigrate. They move to the other side of the world. And I noticed that you're from Germany. You now live in California. What do you have to say about that?
I think, you know, there's something to it. I do think that it was my destiny to come here because I've always felt very restricted in Germany, and I've always wanted to be a writer, and I've always wanted to be like Neil Donald Walsh or Marianne Williamson, even though I didn't know they were from California. And I've always wanted to be near the ocean and the water, but I think definitely that there were times where I needed to put a lot of grounds between me and my parents because I could not stand being around them. It was too painful for me.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. And now, you know, now that we're so far apart, I would say, you know, I'm closer with my parents than ever, even though we're so far apart geographically now. But because of the healing work I've done and they've done in the last, you know, 5 to 10 years.
Fantastic. Now, you mention writing the book and wanting to be a writer like those amazing people that you mentioned, Marianne Williamson and Neil Donald Walsh. And a lot of them are in California, a lot of the ones that I really admire as well, they all live in California, Dr. John Gray. So, I don't know, do the people gravitate there, or is there something in the water that makes them great writers? I don't know. But how did you, I know that you said how you came to write, how you came to tell your story, but how did you actually write the book? Because it's a big step, and I spoke with my guest last week about this. It is a big step to actually have an idea and have a book in you, but lots of people don't actually write it. So how did you do that?
Well, I was very fortunate to have a really good to find a really good coach. You know, basically, you know, the moment the word blossom popped in my mind, an email came into my email book saying, "Do you want to get your book done?" And I was like, "Yes, I do." So this woman's name is Christine Closer. She's called the Transformational Authors Catalyst, and she has a program that's called Get Your Book Done, and I went through that program, and that was really helpful, and also the community around that was really helpful. And then the other part for me was to, I just felt a real urgency for getting this material out. You know, during that time I was writing, I was pregnant, and I had a baby, and had my daughter, and went through a separation, and, you know, and then, so people ask me, how did you write a book during all of this? So for me, it was just this real urgency and, you know, being connected to the cause, basically, you know, that made me really focus and sit down and do it, just get it done.
Fantastic. Well done you. And I'm so glad that you did, because it's a fantastic book, and it's really rife in our society, and a lot is coming out now about, you know, it's a lot in the media, but it never used to be spoken about. And I actually I was in a relationship with someone for 4 years that was sexually abused as a child. He was sexually abused by a teacher, and he never told me. It was only after the relationship, after we'd split up, that he told me. Can you imagine being in a relationship with someone for 4 years and being so close, and then keeping a secret like that?
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much shame. There's so much shame around it, and that, you know, because nobody talks about it, you know, people don't want to talk about it. So I'm really here to say, you know, people start talking about it. There's, you know, there's nothing to be ashamed about. This is who you are. This is your story. It made you who you are today. It made you stronger. And, you know, everybody is such a beautiful soul because of what they went through.
Yes, absolutely. I've got a question pinged up from Lisa in Dublin. She says she was sexually abused as a child. She has never told anyone, not even her husband. What would be her first step? What would you advise?
That's a good question. I mean, first of all, you know, I would sit myself down and really acknowledge myself for having kept it for so long, and then also question myself what my fears would be in talking. And so there's one exercise that you can do that is a four-step exercise which goes like, you know, what is the situation that I'm so afraid of, like, you know, telling my husband. And then the second part of the exercise is, what's the worst that can happen? And then write out what the worst is that could happen. You know, maybe the worst is that he would, in your mind, you might be thinking he will leave you or something. The third step is to ask yourself the question, will you survive? Because oftentimes, you know, the reason why we don't do things is because we think we're going to die. And then, you know, answer the question and see if you will survive, even if the worst fear will come true. And then the fourth and most important part probably of this exercise is to ask yourself, what can I put in place now to prevent, you know, my worst fear from happening? And so that will kind of give yourself an idea of what you need for yourself to feel safe to make that step. And you will, because I believe that we all have these resources within ourselves, that we all know best what to do for ourselves. So I hope this is helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds great. Perfect. Okay, another question come in from Hannah in Leamington Spa, excuse me, put my falsies back in. She says she absolutely agrees about the can of worms. The can of worms, and she feels that she's 51 now. Is it too late to open things up?
No, it's never too late, and I would go so far to say that if you don't open things up, they will take you down. You know, they will deteriorate your health, they will deteriorate your relationship, and so, you know, so no, it's never too late.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And can I add to that you could be on this planet a long time. No, none of us know how long we've got, but you could live another 51 years. People are surviving longer now and living to older ages. Why not make the next 51 years as healthy and happy and have peace of mind? So if you can start the process to that, then definitely, yes.
And I also want to add to that, I lost my train of thought. I will come back if it comes back to me with something important.
okay, yeah, often when we try to to get it, it doesn't, and it'll just naturally come.
Oh,
so, yeah, go ahead.
Now I know.
Yeah.
Now I know.
Mm-hmm.
It's about our own empowerment, that usually the memories or, you know, the suspicion doesn't come back until we are in a place where we're strong enough to really do the healing work. So just know that, you know, if you're remembering right now, the universe is telling you that you're ready and that you're in a place for it.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, we have got another question come in from Patrick in London. He says he was sexually abused by a male as a child, and there's a lot of shame around this for him. Would your book and its steps apply to him as well?
Yes, yes. I think, you know, I mean, I've written it for women because I'm a woman, but the healing steps are the same, you know, whether you're a man or a woman, and definitely yes.
Yeah, because I think that's right what Patrick says. You're dealing with a double trauma and there of not only the sexual abuse and the invasion, but the shame around, there's a lot of, men suffer a lot of angst around their manhood and their sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And so something about, so to then have that thrown into all the trauma that was already there of being invaded and abused, to
yeah.
the shame of that it was a man that had sex with them as well. I think that can be difficult for men to deal with.
Yes. Yes, and I do think, you know, that it's just such intuition on one's own power.
Mm.
You know, the feeling of, like, there's nothing I can do, and then that's going to be perpetuated in your life. That's where, you know, where most people see it reflected back in their everyday life is, you know, a feeling of, I'm not important, I'm a nothing. You know, that's like oftentimes what I saw reflected in my life is that, you know, I don't count, I'm a nothing, I'm worthless. You know,
yeah.
and the shame that we put on ourselves makes us feel worthless.
Absolutely. Oh, now this is a great question. Again, from London, Helen says, sexually abused as a child, it's manifested in many ways in my life. She said she still acts like a child now. For example, can't drive, never learnt to drive. Oh, that's me as well, Helen, my love. Don't worry, I can't drive. what do you have to say about that? People that stay stuck in child. They didn't have the childhood, and so they act like children now. I think that's what Helen is saying. And one of the ways is that it's manifesting is, you know, she doesn't have one of the adult skills of being able to drive a car and get around. What have you got to say on that?
I think that comes back to two things. One of them is, you know, it's not safe to be a grown-up woman because, you know, that being a woman, you know, brought her into the situation before, or being a female, not even a woman. And then the second part is really about learning to become our own parents too. I think a lot of us, and I made that mistake too, that I felt like my parents owed me, and I was looking to them to give me, like, I was in this childlike place of wanting them to make the world right for me.
Mm.
And I needed to really let that go and accept that, you know, I have the responsibility for my life now, and to start that dialogue with myself. You know, I literally started, you know, split myself in two and became my grown-up self and my little one, and just started really cultivating that relationship.
Fantastic. Another thing that just popped into my mind as you were talking, I remember Michael Bernard Beckwith, another great writer and speaker that lives in California,
mm-hmm.
Him saying about debt, when people get into debt, when they owe money, that it can be that they feel that they are owed something,
mm-hmm.
Which ties in with what you were talking about, you know, if people were robbed of their childhood, they can feel that they're old. And that is something that I've seen a lot with my clients as well as the eating disorders. Often their financial affairs are in a mess and they can be in debt. What would you have to say about that?
Yeah, I think it comes back to, you know, feeling that, first of all, you don't have power. You can't do anything. You're just like a victim of your circumstances, and, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. And then also feeling like somebody should take care of you, like you're just not being able to take care of yourself, basically.
Mm.
Or feeling like that is, you know, feeling that that's too much responsibility, or feeling taking care of yourself is a burden, rather than really realizing that you have creative power and you can create your life and you can create it to the terms and on the terms that you want.
Yes.
It's very different mindset.
Great. Fantastic. So, Helen, take the steps to having those driving lessons, even if I know they can be expensive, but I would say at least get on the internet and make an inquiry about some driving lessons, and I'll do the same thing. How about that? I can't drive. Okay. Right. So, Carolyn, time is moving on a bit. Let's tell our listeners how they can find out more about you. First of all, let me get this right. You live in California. You live in Santa Barbara. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, you lucky thing. Fantastic. Okay. But you also run workshops in Germany as well. Is that right?
Yes, and, you know, since my parents are there and my friends are there, I do travel to Europe, and, you know, whenever there's enough people, I'm very happy to facilitate workshops.
Great, fantastic. Well, you have to come over to London. Have you been to London?
Yes, I have, a few years ago. Yeah.
Oh,
right,
wow.
Right around this time, actually.
I have to come again.
I was very lucky. I caught the first couple days of spring, so that was really nice.
You caught what, sorry?
The first few days of spring when I went a few years ago.
Well, that was very lucky, because we never know when that is.
I know.
There was
and
yeah, sorry, carry on.
And my assistant, she is from London. She lives in California too, but right now she's in England.
Oh,
I know all about the weather.
Yeah, there was a joke on Facebook today. It was Father Christmas carrying this big basket of Easter eggs up to the door, and he says the bunnies said it's too cold, they couldn't come out, and so there's all these jokes going around at the moment about England and the West Bank, because it is cold, trust me, it is really cold. But we'd love to have you. The weather's very unpredictable. It can be absolutely beautiful, and there is nowhere more beautiful than England and London when the weather is great. But we'd love to have you, so you must come over again. I'm sure you'd get a great audience here.
Good, yeah. I'll plan something.
Yes, and if you can get General Goose to come as well, that'd be great.
Okay.
Yeah. Pass on my regards to him. As I mentioned, I'm a great fan of hers. And also, although I've only become acquainted with your work very recently, you know, I admire the work that you're doing tremendously.
Thank you.
So it'd be great to have you over here. Otherwise, we'll all come over there. Any excuse?
Yeah, it's very nice. Yeah. But I also do want to say that, you know, if people want to work with me, I've developed a process where I can work over the phone with people. Because I have an international audience and I can't always travel with my children.
Mm.
So that, you know, if somebody really feels like they're called to working with me, there is a way to do that.
Fantastic. Okay, so how do people find out about you? Tell us your website.
My website is carolynhauser.com, and it's spelled CarolynHauser.com.
Great.
And so on my website, it's, you know, people can, there's a contact tab and descriptions of my services, and also a link to my book site, and yeah, lots of stuff, articles.
Great. And there's also the one that I looked at where you've got a lovely little video of you, which is blossombook.com.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great. Now, how long has the book been out?
It's been out officially since last Thursday and unofficially 4 months.
Wow. Is it taking off really well?
Yes. I'm selling books great. Every day. So, yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, I see this going quite big because there's a massive demand for it, and I would imagine, have you got some sort of PR machine to get you out there?
Not yet. I am, and my assistant, she helps me quite a bit. I do have some marketing background, so, you know, I kind of know what to do, but there's so much you could do. So one of my PR strategies is to be on the radio. So, you know, I really enjoy that, and it's fun for me. It's a great way for me to connect
great,
with people.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And I, regular listeners to my show will know that I think the best PR ever is, and you mentioned it earlier, you're connected to spirit. And I
yes.
think that, you know, when you really want to manifest things, you can. And some great things have come my way, and people have said to me, oh my gosh, how did you get that? Did you hire a PR? And I said, no, I manifested it.
yeah. So, you know, I see myself on Oprah, and I see myself on the bestseller list, and I visualize myself, you know, traveling. And so, yeah, I spend
yeah.
a lot of time these days daydreaming about, you know, the book and where it's going to go. And
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, Untangled FM, we will do everything we can to put you out there in the whatever way we can. And, you know, everything starts with an intention.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, great things ahead for you. Well, it just remains for me to say thank you so much for finding the time to come on the show, and thank you for agreeing to come on.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, it's been really great. I'm so glad that I manifested you because you've answered some questions for me. So that's fantastic. And I really am very grateful because I know that, just being a busy mum of two, that's a full-time job in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, it could be. It could be, but... Yeah,
it's a joyful job, but I know
yeah.
that you're very busy, so it's really great that you agreed to come on the show and that you've been so generous with your time and your expertise, and you really have been fantastic. So thanks so much, Carolyn. A big hug and goodbye from London, and stay in touch with us.
Yes, I will, and I'm sending you all some sunshine.
Yeah, please do. Please do. We don't do envy because it's a low vibration, but you enjoy the day in California and lots of love. And you and I will be in touch through my favorite medium, Facebook.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
thanks
Facebook.
A lot.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Carolyn.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, listeners. Well. Thanks so much for listening, and what a great show that was. Again, if I'll just give you Carolyn's details. Her website is www.carolynhauser.com, and that's Carolyn spelled Carolyn Hauser, Hauser. And she also has another website, www.blossombook.com, where you will find out more details about the book. And as Carolyn mentioned, she does, there are many ways that she can connect with you, even if you're not in the same country as her. So go on over to Carolyn's websites and stay connected. And she's on Facebook as well, as am I, as you all know. I'm always on Facebook. So listen, everyone, never mind about the weather. We're not even going to mention it. Hot cross buns. at Easter. Have a fabulous Easter, everyone. I won't be here next week, the Tuesday. I'm having a little respite for Easter, but have a fantastic Easter, everyone. I'll be back on the 9th of April. And regardless of the weather, it's going to be hot, really hot. I've got a fire starter guest for you that night, Gary Plunkett. Hawaiian healing. What a great show that is going to be. Well, listen, everyone. It just remains for me to say thank you for listening. Thanks to my great guest, Carolyn. It's been a fantastic show. Thanks so much for tuning in. And we really appreciate all your support and all the messages that you send us. And see you in 2 weeks' time. Have a fantastic Easter, everyone. Lots of love.